Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Oh, people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, they're messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Move to the music.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the Dipper Dogs.
Move to the music, play that music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. We kind of got an emergency reaction podcast here. I was talking on a DM with my good friend, everyone's favorite lawyer, Dave Ungar, and like, hey, let's lay down some thoughts on what we watched last night. So yes, welcome to DWI 360. I am PC Tunney, and I am joined by the aforementioned man from Attitude of Aggression, Bandwagon Nerds, and everywhere else you can find him at Attitude Ag on the socials, Dave Ungar. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Tunney. Happy day after Rumble to you, sir.
What a day. What a night. I mean, I put it out there. I thought it was one of the best wrestling shows I ever watched.
It ended up that way. Like Solo Sikoa, before he turned, became Solo Sikoa, is just a normal guy. So we're friends, he's one of these guys you're friends on Facebook with. So, he posted something today on Facebook that it just said blood out. And I sent him, a comment on his thing. A lot of people did, saying, man, that segment was really fantastic. I thought, like we talked during the Rumble, that it was very chalk up until, everything was okay. The matches were really good, but predictable, yes. And then that segment at the end transformed this event into something truly memorable, which I'm sure we will get into.
Let me explain myself, because yes, the women's championship match was shorter than it should have been and not excellent, right? And good for W. Look at the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match like this, guys. if WWE can incorporate sponsors into cool, because it looked cool. I thought it was cool looking, and the different spots they did were kind of cool. I think they could have done better. It could have been a little longer. It could have been a little different, but it would look cool. It was different. I enjoyed it for what it was. They did it quick, but look at it this way. If them incorporating sponsors like that into things like that at big events like that, when you get tons of viewership and everything and all the stuff they can do on the ground too at the arena with the hundreds of thousands of people that visit through all the fan interaction and the show, that's putting a little bit more money in the pocket of the talent that night, I would have to say, because that's going to, you know, I would hope so at least. So I try to look at it from a positive point of view. But the Roman Reigns match was very, very good with Kevin Owens. The after the match with the storyline we'll get to was awesome. And I thought those were two of the best Rumbles I had ever seen. I thought the way they booked the Rumbles and the way the talent performed, I thought it was excellent. That's just my opinion, though. That's why I put it so high in regard. That's why I enjoyed it so much.
No, I agree that the matches themselves, even though the outcome was largely predictable, there wasn't a lot in the way of surprises. We'll talk about, you know, the women's stuff and you know, we got one of the surprises right and we barely even noticed her. So, I think as far as like match choreography and how they booked the matches and the order of eliminations and things that may or may not have been teased during all the matches. Yeah, I thought it was certainly an upgrade from a year ago. And that's, they had to do something better than last year. Last year was very predictable and not that great. This was a definite step up. So I agree with you in that respect.
All right, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the 36th annual Royal Rumble from last night. You're listening to DWI Podcast with PC Tunney and Dave Ungar right here, Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com. Always use your head and go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Right back.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, PC Tunney, Dave Ungar. Follow us at PC Tunney and at Attitude AGG for Mr. Ungar. You can also follow the show at Podcast DWI and on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure you're checking out at Chairshot Media. That's where you're going to find everything that drops on the website, podcasts and articles. A great job by Greg DeMarco coming up with some really cool analysis on the timing of the Royal Rumble. Check that out. Both Rumbles he did. He also kind of gave a running commentary of what he was thinking, with kind of like what I do here on Raw reactions with the what and on Dan Plays the I'll Be Watching You music. But it's pretty good read. Stephen Mitchell as well. If you can't watch it and you can only read about it, the guy is phenomenal. One of the best reviewers and storytellers and play-by-play guys that you're going to see when you go to a website. So make sure you're checking all that out at thechairshot.com. Dave, let's talk about the Royal Rumble. Got all that out of the way. Good stuff over there. Staff picks were back as well, so everybody knows how right or wrong we were. How do you feel about the men's Royal Rumble opening the show? Like, how did you feel at the time? And now I kind of get it, right?
Yeah, I think, I think when it was happening, I wasn't so sure about it, because I think, like you'd mentioned during the day when we first heard that the men's Rumble was opening, that it really kind of set the stage. It was like, this has got to be Cody's moment, you know, and it kind of detracted away from any possibility. Rock showing up, Austin showing up. There's going to be some big surprise. They're leading off at the men's Rumble for some reason. And I think I told you, like, I was out playing golf and I got back, like, I missed like the first 25 people, got there in time, but listen, I'm reading the summary listen, and now it's like, if I need to watch this.
If I could have been out playing golf and missed the first that, and I would have done it too, Dave. But unfortunately I had to shovel twice, yesterday. We got about 7 inches of snow.
Oh, fun. So
my driveway went from about, you know, yay wide to ye wide because it's so hard to get all that snow off the driveway. But anyway,
Just kind of like, and thank you for hooking me up with, you know, to kind of like review what happened until I get a chance to go back and watch that first match. But yeah, from the time I came into it, you know, Seth was already in there and I think from the standpoint of the men's, I think both Rumbles, there's an important thing to keep in mind. Factions and the importance of having a faction. And I'm looking at it. You saw Judgment Day and how they dominated the men's Rumble, and we saw Damage Control dominate the women's for a lot of that match. So yeah, factions are becoming more of an en vogue thing. But Gunther, I know Cody wins and I get it, but man, by the end of that Cody Gunther thing, Tony, I was kind of like really starting to root for Gunther to pull this shit out, because a Gunther Roman Reigns match is fucking money. Maybe not now. Somewhere down the line, that's money.
A Gunther will be a world champion in WWE, 100%. And he kind of proved that last night. They said, all right, kid, here you go. Here's a place where you can prove yourself, lose, and come out looking even better than winning just a match. He set the record for the longest time in. He's been excellent. Why do you think they got the chance to interact with DX at Raw's 30? Match of the year, possibly last year. You know, you talk about factions and you talk about relationships. Sheamus and McIntyre fucking dominated a large portion of the Royal Rumble. Just to kind of go through the little bit of the beginning, Gunther and Sheamus were the first ones out. Miz came out after that. He was the first one eliminated. He was eliminated by Sheamus. You'd get Kofi, Johnny Gargano, Xavier. Xavier comes out. Xavier and Kofi do some crazy stuff. Go back and watch the Flip Man butt slap routine that they did, which was very interesting, to say the least, but it made me laugh. Karrion Kross was out seventh. He got eliminated second. Let's see. Gable was out. Then McIntyre was ninth. So you had all these guys really still in the ring at one point. Then what happens? Brock Lesnar's out at 12. Brock Lesnar gets rid of some of the traffic in the ring, Dave, and he looked really good.
He did. And I know, like, they teased the Gunther Lesnar showdown that, you know, a lot of us are hoping we get for a moment until Lashley came in and got rid of Brock. And, you know, and I'm like watching this match. I haven't watched it, but I'm just reading this, Tunney, and just let what I know at the end of it. I'm like thinking, you know, can we get maybe a Lashley Lesnar Gunther triple threat IC title match at WrestleMania?
Well, you forget that Austin Theory's kind of involved in this storyline as well. Why not a fatal four-way elimination match. You know,
both titles unify well, those,
or
two
no,
titles.
just like a double, yeah, like a double thing. They used to do that, right? Remember when, you know, first pinfall here, second pinfall there, which is interesting because you have the potential of a double champ there. I don't know. That's really. I would love to see. I would love to just see Lesnar and Lashley. That's fine. But it seems like involving Gunther or Theory is a real good possibility. I can only think of the one way to say this, and we kind of mentioned it coming into the Rumble, all the options that they've had. They've done the exact opposite of painting themselves into a corner. They can pretty much go in any direction with almost everything, and they got a lot of outs, and they're all really good right now. I mean, this is just such a good start to the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched. Did you watch the press conference yesterday?
I caught bits and pieces about what happened. I didn't watch anything. I read some stuff
like,
this morning at breakfast.
I think Hunter's being smart about a lot of things that he said in the press conference. And like you're saying, not painting himself into a corner. Not like the comments he made about The Rock were very interesting, you know. And,
defended him and said, the door's open whenever, you yeah. know. You, right, that's basically what he did. He's like, no, that like... We're privileged to be allowed to still have the option of possibly him coming in and defending his, you know, love for the business, saying, listen, there's a lot going on there. You know, if they didn't do the XFL thing, he would have been there, I would bet.
And he may still show up. I mean, I think I wouldn't exclude that. And Triple H was pretty clear about that, that we, you know, you don't know.
Here's the thing, though. Can you bring him around? If it's just for like a one-off kind of match thing without having him involved in the whole bloodline thing, that's the problem right now.
Well, I mean, because
you can't,
a brief
you can't,
moment.
You can't have him show up at WrestleMania and do something with anybody that's not associated with the bloodline and then have no part of even crossing paths with them. You can't do that in my mind.
Right. And I thought, you know, to get The Rock involved in this whole thing, you know, I've been always kind of thinking Roman's got to do something that really crosses a line
okay.
that The Rock and
could have went there.
Last night was, you know, I really thought for a minute I was waiting for Cody to show up or I was waiting for The Rock to show up and try and interrupt this thing. Neither of them happened, of course, and it's good that it didn't because it worked better that way. But you look at the stuff that Roman did there at the end, and that's the kind of stuff that gets somebody like The Rock's attention, you know, storyline wise, to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to stand for this kind of bullshit anymore. This is my family. You're giving us a bad name. So, yeah, maybe we'll see what happens at what's next? Elimination Chamber? Is that the only thing between the shows?
Yeah, except they usually
other than the NXT stuff.
But, or they do something usually like one-off stuff that doesn't really matter.
They used to be like Elimination Chamber Fastlane and that sort of thing.
And then the one year they kind of did like the Madison Square Garden thing. Then the next year they did like the, I think it was somewhere in Asia, I believe they were. But anyway, let's get back to the Rumble here real quick. We can get down to the end of this one. It kind of was in three parts. The opening up until Lesnar came in. And then while Lesnar and Lashley were both in, both kind of eliminated fairly quickly. Lesnar especially by Bobby Lashley. And then Lashley by Seth Rollins. That was kind of the other thing that happened there was Seth Rollins coming out, big pop. And then as we transition towards like the end part of the match, a few things that happened. Dominic comes out after his father no-shows his entrance.
Right.
They didn't show anything.
Dominic had his mask on.
Yeah, well, they did. Yeah, they didn't, but they didn't show the beatdown, right? Or anything like that. They just kind of put it that way. But I thought Dominic had a great Rumble performance, and I'm like, man, you can almost have him in second to last and tease the shit out of him throwing Cody out, but Cody eliminated him, which I thought was great storytelling because of the lineage of such, you know, hey, there's more than one royal family. Well, Dominic's a part of another one too. And in my mind, I thought, hey, this could be the WrestleMania main event in 3 or 4 years, Dominic Mysterio and Cody Rhodes.
Could be. I thought Dom had a good showing from what I saw of it. I love the Cody Seth interaction near the end of the match was fantastic. I mean, that was, and they handled it well because Seth is clearly morphed from where he was a year ago, entitled Brat, asking for a match from Mr. McMahon, to where he is now. You look at Seth and Cody a little bit differently, and their interaction was great. And Seth, and you're not stealing my spotlight this time. And of course, then Logan Paul ruins the whole thing. But it is spot of the night, Logan Paul and Ricochet's springboard clothesline.
Jesus. I mean, Logan Paul just delivers when he comes into the WWE. He gets himself ready. He does his homework. It seems like he's very much endearing himself to the roster and to the company and doing things the right way when he's there. And the guy's got fucking talent in every single aspect in which you need to check a box on a fucking list for the WWE and to be a fucking superstar. All of them, Dave.
Yeah, if you're brand new to the industry, allegedly brand new, and you're exchanging springboard clotheslines with Ricochet,
who's and knocking it out of the park,
anybody ever
one take from the Dave, top rope, you get one chance. You could fuck it up immensely in a thousand different ways.
And they hit it perfectly. I mean, and it was good, his interaction with Ricochet. You want to go? You want to try this? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, I did like the end. You know, I guess we'll get to Cody and Gunther at the end of this thing. And it wasn't, they played that really well, and they drug that out. And a lot of times these Rumble endings are so anticlimactic and sudden. It's like a wet fart in church. This was the opposite of that, where they went, and for a while, you're really like, I'm not sure how, I mean, you know Cody's going to win. But they did a good job of planting just enough that doubt, because Gunther beat the shit out of him before Cody eventually eliminated him. So I thought, yeah, from what I saw, the men's match was organized really well. There were some really good moments, some good teases of possible things that might or might not happen. Cody and Seth, you know, I can't imagine them running that back at Mania, but that's a rivalry that's got legs to it that's probably going to last for, you can really build that up over the next year as well.
So Gunther and Cody tied for the most eliminations in the match. Do you want to guess how many they each had?
Five.
You got it. Second place with four was
probably Brock.
Drew McIntyre.
Drew. Okay.
And then tied for third with three, there was only two competitors with three. You named one of them already.
Brock was Braun. Did Braun get three?
Nope. Brock, and then another guy who came in who was second in. Sheamus. Sheamus had three as well. So not a big amount of eliminations there as far as like racking them up, one guy kind of crushing it. Cody got the big pop there along with Gunther, like you said. What a awesome Royal Rumble match. I know we kind of work ourselves up into a lather sometimes, right? Sami Zayn wasn't even in the Rumble, and we all kind of got thinking about that. I know you picked Cody Rhodes. You stuck with it. I think in all of our heart of hearts, if we had to put money on it, though, I don't think I would have put money on Stone Cold Steve Austin to win the Royal Rumble. If I had to, like, put a bet down, I would have put it on Cody. Although it was fun to it was kind of fun to, how do I put this, dream, kind of like, you know, let your imagination get away from yourself and see it like, hey, oh, Stone Cold's been working out. Maybe he could come back. Still love to see a match with him, though, but.
I mean, if you really think about it, Austin and The Rock aren't going to work the Rumble. I mean, it's an extra risk for either of them to be in that match, even though you can be very well protected in the Rumble environment. But it's an unnecessary risk that I just don't know. I mean, you know, you look at when The Rock did his run last time, he wasn't in the Rumble match. He just beat Punk at the Rumble to take the title. Like you said, it would be fun to dream. And yeah, if that glass had shattered at any point last night, that Alamo Dome would have lost their damn minds. And yeah, I daydreamed about a showdown at the end between Rock and Austin at any point in the Rumble facing off against each other. But it made sense. I mean, Cody coming in at 30 was a little bit, I was like, okay, come on, guys. Cody drew number 30. You know, so that was a little bit of a letdown. I would have rather seen him come in like 26, 27. You know, that would have made more sense, but I get it. And yeah, I think Cody winning was really the only way that they were going to go. When you, in hindsight, looking back at where the show ended, it all makes sense.
Just really well booked, everything that they did, the spots they had, the way the guys, I mean, I didn't really see a lot of mistakes, to be honest with you, in either Rumble.
Other than Kofi trying to save himself and failing again.
Oh, man, I thought he split his fucking head open.
Yeah,
but you know what?
It was a little bit rough.
I mean, the amount of times he's taken that risk and succeeded at it is amazing. So, you know, I mean, that's just not a 100% guarantee to do those kind of things. And everybody knows it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, you know, I can't fault the guy.
Let's get the next two out of the way. I don't know. Is there much more to say about the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match than we kind of already talked about in the beginning here?
Other than that,
I mean, Bray won. I was kind of surprised, I guess.
Yeah, they got to get Bray away from this gimmicky bullshit. AJ made the comment about it during the chat yesterday, and I agree with him. This whole gimmicky thing with Bray Wyatt undercuts the talent that he really is. And this was another example of that. It's like, I mean, and LA Knight put up a decent fight, and then Uncle Howdy jumping off of something missing completely. But hey, we got an explosion anyway. There's not a lot you can say about this match. It was underwhelming. It was cool visually, but the match itself was very underwhelming.
You can go ahead and read in depth AJ's opinions on Bray Wyatt right there. AJ's phenomenal opinion, Bray Wyatt right there, chairshot.com. That is up right now on thechairshot.com. The women's match was really underwhelming as well, I thought, you know?
Yep, it was. And I mean, Alexa had her moments, but it was Bianca's night, and really, unless, and I know on the when we did the TriCast the other day, we were talking about the thought that, you know, that there'd be some bullshittery at the end of this whole thing with Alexa
fucky
turning
finish
to the dark side, a fucky finish, and you really didn't. I mean, Bianca just beat her fucking clean, overpowered her and beat her, and then you got the tease of Alexa still going down that dark side, and Bray at the press conference yesterday saying him and Alexa are always going to be linked together, and okay, whatever. But yeah, I don't know, man. It was underwhelming to be sure. Bianca just kind of steamrolled her after a while.
Like we'll get to that. We'll get to more about Bianca in a minute. Let's just real quick stick with the Alexa and the Bray and the Uncle Howdy thing. From what I've read, Bo Dallas has been the one playing Uncle Howdy.
I think so. I think, you know, whoever jumped off of there last night, it was off the mark. But, I was, like, looking at the move that he did. It was, like, kind of like a corkscrew sort of thing. I don't know if Bo does that, but...
Was it a corkscrew? Kind of just... Well,
kinda.
It looked like...
It's hard to tell.
You know what, though? It looked like someone... Going on. It looked like someone that had never really done a lot of that stuff before, Bo Dallas, and didn't want to short it and knew they could go long, right? Like, you get up top there and it's a whole different horse than when you're just looking at it from the bottom. You know that if you've been up on even a fucking 6-foot ladder.
You know, like I said earlier, factions, man, factions. And if you're looking at this,
that's
whole
a faction.
Wyatt's,
that'd be awesome.
You're looking at this Wyatt Six faction, you know, that they've been teasing forever. You know, okay, you got Bray, you got Bo Dallas. I'm fine with Bo Dallas being a part of that. You bring in Alexa. You know, you need one or two other guys to join up so that you've got,
well,
like,
Eric
comparable
Young's
numbers
supposed
to say
there,
Judgment
right?
Day. Who?
Eric Young's supposed to be there, right?
Yeah, Eric Young would be a really good fit for that. And then you've got, you know, if you've got three guys and a gal, then you're looking at the same numbers as, say, Judgment Day. You know, you're looking at it's not damage control sort of thing, and Tunney's drinking the Broken Skull IPAs. Shout out to Steve Austin.
So I go to the liquor store before the Rumble yesterday, right? After I get some grocery shopping done, whatever. And I'm like, well, I haven't bought this in a while, and it's really good. It's the Stone Cold IPA. And I'm like, I'm going to buy this 4-pack, and I'm not going to open it unless he shows up. And he didn't show up. But we're doing a review, so fuck it. Here's to you, Stone
Cold.
Yeah,
and we mentioned Stone Cold, so it's all good. But yeah, I like the idea about Bray Wyatt starting a faction. You know, I think factions are going to become a bigger deal. You know, look at the Bloodline. I mean, the most dominant thing, the biggest story, faction. Judgment Day, faction. Damage Control, faction. Wyatt needs to get his own thing going. Cool. So the match was underwhelming. But I do like kind of the Alexa, the darker Alexa Bliss is the better character for her right now. The too colorful thing isn't really catching on, I don't think.
Let's get into the Women's Royal Rumble. And as much as I love the Men's Royal Rumble, I thought the Women's Royal Rumble was even better, to be honest with you. I thought the way it was booked and the way that they had their surprises and the way those surprises came out... Michelle McCool coming out of the crowd, sitting with her daughters, and coming in and kicking ass was fucking awesome. She said she wasn't going to be able to get ready in time, and she fooled everybody, even me, because I said that on a podcast. I thought her performance was fucking great. Nia Jax coming back, Dave, Chelsea Green, Dark Asuka we got making me look good. I predicted Doudrop, but I only kind of got it half right because she's back as Piper Niven, which is awesome as well.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of it. I'm so glad they got rid of that stupid Doudrop name.
Indy Hartwell, Indy Hartwell, Zoe Stark, and Roxanne Perez all get a tease from NXT, right?
Yeah, Roxanne looked really good as the NXT Women's Champion. I mean, this people who didn't show up, there were rumors we were thinking Naomi, maybe. Mandy Rose had been tossed about a little bit. But, Chelsea, we got that one right. But, I don't know why they booked her that way to just get eliminated immediately.
She's supposed to just play like this, you heard of, they call someone a Karen?
Yeah.
She's supposed to play like that kind of character. So, like, a lot of those kind of things, like the old, those kind of things would happen to her. So we'll see what happens. They're surprised we didn't get Zack Ryder, if not on the Chelsea Green side of things.
What's that?
I'm surprised we didn't have Zack Ryder in the men's, considering Chelsea Green was there.
Oh, yeah. Matt Cardona. That would have been... Yeah, I mean, that would have been good. Maybe there's some reason that they couldn't have fit him in there. I mean, just... I would have loved it if you heard woo, woo, woo. You know it. But he doesn't want to be Zack Ryder anymore.
How did you feel about... we missed Booker T. We'll come back to the women's here. But how did you feel about Book getting his spot down in Texas? I thought that was kind of
I didn't see it. I didn't see it, but I heard about it. He wasn't in the match much longer than Chelsea Green was, from my understanding.
It looks like his knees are completely shot. Like, he tried to do a couple kicks and couldn't really... I mean, like, the guy looks like in great shape, as good as you can, but it looks like he doesn't just have any knees left. That's too bad. He was one of the greatest performers ever,
possible,
in my mind. So,
but I think, like, I tend to agree with you that I did... This is probably the best women's Rumble that we've had so far, I think. And Nia Jax getting that huge pop, and I really hope she's going to stick around for a while.
Yes, from what I heard, her and Chelsea Green are going to be sticking around. That's what I heard.
That's awesome. Raquel Rodriguez,
man, I thought she might. Her real name is Gonzalez, I believe, but her ring name is Rodriguez.
I'm like trying to remember. She was called one thing in NXT, and then they brought her up and changed it, if I remember correctly. But she came off looking really, really strong in this match, and I could see her and Rhea Ripley somewhere down the line, maybe sure. After Rhea.
Well, there's two champions here. There's two champions here. Raquel could go after the other one, you know?
That's true. And Raquel versus Charlotte, something we haven't seen before. That wouldn't be bad to see. Rhea goes up.
That's the thing. Like, I would assume Rhea goes to after Bianca because that's like, that's your new age kind of thing. But Rhea and Charlotte are very similar. Rhea looked like Charlotte before she became Rhea, to be honest with you.
Yeah, she did. And I think like her press conference was kind of, she kind of targeted Bianca a little bit, but she did acknowledge she's got unfinished business with Charlotte, that she may want redemption. He says, I got to think about this. Interesting to note about, she had a dislocated kneecap in the match. I guess she's saying her knees are bad as well. But just a magnificent performance. And shout out to Liv Morgan as well. You guys called that one. As far as like, I think I forget who it was, but somebody said Liv will be there at the end. Maybe it was DJ.
DJ or DP, one of the two. Probably DJ.
Yeah. I was like, when Rhea came out number one, I was like, wasn't Liv supposed to be number one? She was number two. So it's really like she was number one. It doesn't fucking matter. But for those two to go the distance like they did and have, like you said, Dark Asuka at the end, no Ronda Rousey, a little bit surprising, but it makes sense because she's kind of on, people would react to Ronda as a wasted spot. Nia coming back, honestly, was going to get a bigger reaction than Ronda at 30. So I thought, like you said, it was a really, really, really good women's match. Lots of good stuff. Certain people came out looking really well. Roxanne Perez looked really well for a while. Raquel.
Double R's. Double R. Raquel Rodriguez. Yep.
Exactly. I thought she might have come off the match looking... yeah, Raquel Rodriguez might have come out of that thing. She's kind of like the Gunther of the women's match, I thought, as far as people who didn't win but may have their stock increased dramatically by being in that match. She was her and Piper Niven, and I really look forward to seeing what happens with Piper from here. Lacey Evans got a lot of heat on her, doesn't she?
That's all right. That's good. She's it's playing fine. The mean side of the too bad now you politically you can't like side with a foreign country in a again, you know, in a war. You really couldn't do that anymore like they used to be able to. She would have been a lot bigger in the late 80s, early 90s, I'll tell you that.
She'd be like an Iraqi sympathizer like Slaughter. It'd be so perfect for her.
Let's talk about I rarely do this, but I mean, just because I consider this one of the best shows I ever watched. Let's talk about some of the criticism and some of the overreactioners. Or people that, you know, think they know everything or maybe they should.
You mean the AEW marks
or
out
maybe
there?
They
is
should.
That what we're
I'm
talk
trying
about?
Not to label them.
I just
we,
did.
Here's the surprises we had. And we talked about the chalkiness of it. Well, maybe the problem is we, you know, we already know we've sacrificed a lot of the surprise element of this by covering it the way we do and having the context and the context that we do. In the circle we run in, it just magnifies the amount of knowledge that we can accrue and sift through. So we're not surprised by a lot of things. But you did get Logan Paul, Booker T, who was the other person? Oh, and Edge. You didn't know they were going to be there, right? That's three big surprises. And then on the women's side, you got Chelsea Green, Michelle McCool, and Nia Jax. What's wrong with putting 27
and,
of your...
And you got a name change for yeah, Piper Niven.
Right.
That's
what's wrong
surprise.
With putting 27 of each of your men and women on the roster over? Because there's a lot of people I could name that weren't in the Royal Rumble on both men's and women's side that could have been as well. So stick with the storyline, folks.
I think it was more just kind of like you were saying. We kind of worked ourselves into a shoot a little bit where, you know, we wanted Austin and we wanted Rock. And when we didn't get him, it's disappointing. But when you stop and think about it, it makes sense. As podcasters, we're looking back on this, analyzing it. Now, in the moment when you're a fan and we've all grown up watching the Rumbles, that's different, you know, and your immediate reaction, disappointment, because as a fan, oh, I wanted Austin or I wanted the Rock. When you stop and look at what they did, it makes perfect sense from a booking creative business standpoint. And, you know, yeah, with the women, I think, yeah, having Naomi come out at 30 would be the only thing that would have gotten a bigger pop than Nia. You know, that obviously didn't work. We'll see where they go with that. You know, with the bloodlines fracturing like they are, I could see Naomi being brought back in some capacity in that way. But, yeah, I mean, really, other than, you know, you look at the women, it's like, well, who could they? I mean, I was surprised Trish wasn't there. I was a little surprised Lita wasn't there. But then again, you know, one of the criticisms about the Women's Rumble since its inception has been the legends that were brought back and taking spots away from the women. I was really pleased that they brought the NXT women into the women's match and kept them out of the men's match. I mean, the only person I would have wanted to see in the Men's Rumble who I think would have made a huge difference would have been Braun Breaker. That would have been okay. Having Braun and Lesnar and Gunther and Lashley all facing off, that would have been money. But yeah, otherwise, looking at it just analytically from a podcasting standpoint, it really does make sense if you get your fandom out of the way and look at this analytically.
Yeah, I just go back to saying, I don't know, who put these matches together, the two Rumbles, because they should do it next year or do more stuff because this was really good. I appreciate whatever amount of planning and preparation went into what they were doing came out in spades. Let me tell you right now, it was just awesome. I can't say enough. And when's the last time WWE had a bad pay-per-view? Hunter, Vince McMahon aside. And if you people out there think that you go back and forth like, oh, Hunter's better than Vince, oh, Vince was better than Hunter, I'll bet you dollars to donuts that everything that's still going on is Vince is still collaborating with Hunter in some aspect on this. I don't think they don't talk.
No, I mentioned it yesterday. Vince's fingerprints were a lot. You saw it in a lot of places on this event. And, you know, Hunter grew up under the Vince learning tree. So it's all right. I mean, it's okay as long as Vince isn't pulling all the strings. Really, the only thing you can complain about is just the predictability of bringing Cody in at 30 and having him win. Should have put him in there somewhere. Rhea running the table, to me, it's predictable, but it was necessary. And I think I mentioned it to you on the TriCast. I thought you want to put Rhea over as big as possible, have her come in at one and have her run the table. That's exactly what she did. You know, and then I think somebody had said, well, Liv's going to be number one, so that's not going to happen. It happened. And I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm so brilliant, because, you know, one, two, who gives a shit?
Right.
I think as far as putting her over, as much as you solidifying her as the number one, you've been on this. She was your Women's Wrestler of the Year in the Swaggy Awards. And I think this was the endorsement that she needed to just, if there was any doubt about who the number one woman in WWE is, it's not Bianca or Charlotte right now. It's Rhea Ripley. And this was her coronation.
Yeah, she came out looking really well. I mean, there's not a lot of people that look bad. Even it was, who was it? Rhea tried to slam Nia.
Nia.
And it didn't really go well. And she kind of got...
She hit her with a riptide, though.
Yeah, she got like 80% of the riptide. It's not all her fault there, though, either. The knee, and I'm sure Nia doesn't do a whole hell of a lot to help. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, she's not been known for her cooperation in the past, but
I mean just her ability to get off the ground either. So but I'm glad she's back, and I think she puts on a certain kind of match that's enjoyable when it's done right with the right person. So good for her. Let's take a quick break, Dave, and then let's just talk about the end of the show. Just another great wrestling match put on between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, and Sammy and Paul being out there is always a help. So there's not a whole lot to attack there specifically, but we got to get into the post-match and the ending to the Royal Rumble, which was, I thought, some of the best WWE storytelling and television that I've ever seen. So quick break. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about... one of the best parts of the show. DWI Podcast 360, Chairshot Radio Network. Dave Ungar, PC Tunney.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Being that we're on the road to WrestleMania, and it is indeed WrestleMania season, don't forget to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick yourself up a Chairshot t-shirt. Make yourself look great at all your wrestling events and gatherings. People are going to wonder, who's that guy with the cool-ass t-shirt? You just tell them prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We got you covered. Get in soft style. Your epidermis will thank you for only an extra $5. prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Dave, go ahead. Get the conversation started. This just kept giving to us as it kept going on.
Yeah, the match was excellent. I agree with you. Kevin Owens coming tantalizingly close in a few places to winning the title. Of course, you know, you have the obligatory ref bump. You had both guys hitting finishers, you know, Kevin kicking out of like Roman Spear. You know, people don't do that nowadays. And KO just wouldn't stay down. But the star of the whole thing, the match and the aftermath, is you got to give it to Sammy, because his selling of the internal conflict that's going on within himself, you know, I mean, it's like, to me, you know, we're you know, pulling back the curtain completely. We're going to record Bandwagon Nerds after this. There was so much of like what I saw in him was like when the Emperor's killing Luke at the end of Last Jedi and Vader's like wrestling with all this shit. That's kind of the vibe I got from Sammy watching his best friend, who he's run, you know, grown up with, being tortured by Roman Reigns. I mean, even during the match where he's slamming his head off the stairs, and you could tell that it's really bothering Sammy. And then mercifully Roman puts it away. And then, of course, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about the match before we get to the aftermath, which is arguably more important.
We don't need to cover the match, really. We can just like talk about the aftermath.
Some of the best theater that we've seen in WWE in a long, and it's like stuff that you know is coming, but the way that they built up to everything with Sammy just being pushed by Roman and pushed by Roman to the breaking point where you know, they're handcuffing Kevin Owens to the ropes, and Kevin Owens is being brutalized. And I mean, you know, Kevin Owens saying earlier in the week that for Roman to beat him, he was going to have to kill him. You know, there's some moments here where you're like wondering, I mean, are they going to actually like play this to the hilt and damn near threaten his life, which they kind of did. And, you know, Roman wanting Sammy, you know, Roman's going to blast Kevin Owens with the chair. Sammy gets in the way. Roman and Kevin, you know, I mean, Roman keeps pushing Sammy in the face until Sammy, for a brief flicker of a second, stands up to him, and they go head to head with each other. And then, you know, yeah, then Sammy blasts Roman with the chair. I think the biggest surprise to me, Tony, was after everything that's happened with Jay and Sammy, for Jay just to turn his back on the bloodline and leave. You know, I think Sammy turning on Roman, we anticipated. Jay bailing out like he did was the surprise of the whole thing that I didn't see coming. And it's almost like Jay understood. But you got to remember, when that whole bloodline shit started, who was the first one to go against Roman after he got the title? It was Jay. Main event Jay. And Jimmy kind of, you know, and Jay's always been reluctant. You know, the who gives a damn what the tribal chief says? That was Jay. So maybe it makes more sense than we're thinking.
What if Jay's the one to beat Roman? Anyway, because like we're all like we say, you know, working ourselves up here. A lot of us still don't think that it's Roman and Cody is the only thing that's happening, you know.
I know Greg made the comment today, but it's like they're almost, I mean, if you listen to Cody's comments about Roman in the press conference, he said all the right things about that Roman's the only, you know, you could talk about the best in the world and everybody out there. Roman's the only one that's undisputed, and he's been undisputed. And Cody's like, you can't dispute that he is the best that there is out there. So he's saying the right things. I mean, and the thing is, you're looking at, if you're going to do WrestleZania and you're going to give Sammy the shot against Roman at WrestleMania, the fans, it's not like the situation was at WrestleMania 30 where Batista won the Rumble and everybody shit all over it. Nobody's shitting on Cody winning the Rumble. Everybody loves Cody. Everybody thinks this is a great story. You've got two hugely compelling storylines going on at the same time, all involving Roman. Cody trying to accomplish this dream of his that his father never got. I mean, his coming back from a torn pec, fantastic stuff. Sami Zayn being pushed to the limit to turn on Roman, the fans rallying around Sami, fantastic stuff. They've got a problem as to how do you do this? You know, I mean, how do you, other than, like you're saying, some sort of something happens where it's Roman, Cody, and Sami in some sort of match. For maybe that's how they split the title. I don't know. But yeah, it's fascinating. And the end of the Rumble was tremendous with Sammy just getting the shit kicked out of him by Roman, Jay walking off. What does that mean for the Unified Tag Team Championships? I mean, Jay and Jimmy have got to come to some meeting of the minds about this stuff. I could see the Usos being the ones to kind of like really upset the apple cart here and just say, fuck this. We're in this for ourselves.
I love that I have no idea what's going to happen, and I love that I can't wait to watch Monday Night Raw tomorrow, because I feel like not only could we get some more of this, a little bit of it, and then the majority of what you want to see is the next step probably on SmackDown, because this is a SmackDown thing, which I think you're going to see something on Raw, but I think we're going to get somebody on Raw that they saved for the Monday after Raw instead of giving you them at the Royal Rumble. Do you think that either on the men's or women's side, anybody come to mind that you think, boy, you know, they used to do that. They used to not give you everybody, and then the next night they'd give you something huge, like after the Rumble and then also after WrestleMania. Because if they have someone coming in that wasn't going to win the Rumble and they didn't want to have them eliminated in the Rumble, Jay White, maybe we see him tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think Jay coming to WWE is seemingly more and more tangible. But I know his contract, he's got those contract issues, so I don't know when he comes in. You know, we got Elimination Chamber just, what, a few weeks away, February 18th. That's not far off as far as, like, building to that. And you got to wonder.
I would say, you know, Roman gets punished for what happened. You can't just handcuff a guy to the ring and then hit him. So maybe Does he get stripped of one of the titles? Does he have to just defend one of them? Does we going to see a WrestleMania 2000 thing if we get Cody and Roman and Sammy and KO? And Cody goes over by not beating Roman, but somebody else? Or, you know, I don't know. There's all those not painting yourself into a corner, right?
Yeah, they've got some options. Elimination Chamber is going to be really interesting, you know, if they put Roman in that match. But, you know, the other thing to consider is the location.
The Elimination Chamber could just be a woman's thing, too, because that's the only unchallenged title, honestly, if you keep the belts together on the men's side.
I'm thinking, you know, you look at Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I mean, that's KO's. That's his home, basically. And Sammy as well. So, man, that's going to be.
What happens to the tag team titles now that Jay walked out on Jimmy and Roman?
I'm sure they'll have some sort of conversation about that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at, equate this Elimination Chamber Clash of the Castle, which we've talked about. I mean, if they didn't put Drew over in frickin' Scotland, then the chances of them putting Kevin or Sammy over Roman in Montreal are even less. But I'm really curious as to how they are going to do this thing because, yeah, Sammy's got to get a shot. It's WrestleMania season. Cody's got to get a shot. It's WrestleMania season. How do you bring these two storylines and have them? And what if The Rock does show up? I mean, Jesus, you know, then you've got a third variable going on. So it's, yeah, like you're saying, they're not painted into a corner, and it's going to be a fantastic, compelling ride to, Elimination Chamber in a couple weeks. I mean, they're not going to have a lot of time to build to that. So I imagine we're getting something this week that's going to clarify where we're going.
All right, folks, we're going to call it a show here, sort of abruptly, but we covered a lot of stuff. We have multiple people waiting for us, one Ray Cash and one DJ Minter, to do the Bandwagon Nerds, which is completely fine and dandy, so we're going to have a great show for you tomorrow morning there. But I do want to say something Dave and I talked about before this show that we're going to try and do our best to start doing here on the road to WrestleMania 2 because it'll give Dave and I a chance to also talk the current product is the Big Four. And Dave and I said it to him when we were talking about doing this today. I love reviewing stuff with him because I feel like we do a really good job because we're two of a few people that actually watch all the product still, as far as the WWE main roster stuff goes. So, hopefully we can give you some old, reviews on the cool stuff that Dave, what a great idea, that we do for Attitude of Aggression and then put it on the Chair Shot too. The Big Four has been awesome.
Think about it. Where we are in the Big Four is the only storyline of recent the last 30, 40 years that can match the bloodline is the Mega Powers exploding.
Yeah, exactly.
And there you go.
That's huge. All right, Dave, let everybody know where they can find you, and then I'll do the same, and we'll see them tomorrow morning on Bandwagon Nerds.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAgg. That is at AttitudeAgg. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression. And Tony, thank you for putting this together on the last minute like that. It was good to debrief and get some thoughts on the Rumble out there because, wow, what an event.
One of my favorite pay-per-views I've ever watched in my entire life, and I've watched a lot of WWE. Follow me at PC Tony. Follow the show at Podcast DWI and at DWI Podcast. Chairshot Radio Network. See you tomorrow morning. Bandwagon Nerds!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.